Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Under a Shady Tree with Lord Terry and Lord Onyx. Come on in, grab a glass of sweet iced tea and sit right down. These Southern Pagan boys are about to start their talk. Lord Terry and Lord Onyx.
And good evening, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Power, and you are under a shady tree with Terry and Robin. And we've also got a special co-host with us tonight, Nivasi. Coming to us, helping fill in a little bit because Robin is on the road, and while she has made it in, hi Robin.
Hello, honey.
She may or may not be able to stay with us the entire show, so Niv has graciously just agreed to come in and join the fray this evening. Hi, Niv.
Hey, how are you? Hi, Robin.
Hi, Nivasi. How are you?
Oh, a little crazy as usual, but I'm here.
Well, yeah.
All right.
Sums it up about right.
We've got an interesting show tonight, and I want to go ahead and announce right up front that we are going to be taking callers at 646-564-9714. Now, after it goes through all the rigmarole and tells you that you're now, you know, listening to the show, hit the one button on your phone, and it will put you into the host queue and throw up a little flag so that we know you want to talk. So tonight we're going to be talking about Mavon. We're going to be talking about the Sabbath itself, what it means. We're going to ask for callers to share what they plan to do for their rituals coming up this weekend. We're going to be talking about decorations and celebrations and just everything about Mavon. So we're, of course, inviting callers and everybody in the chat room to participate. And again, that number is 646-564-9714, and hit the one button after it gives you a chance. So, you know,
there's a lot to cover. Holy cow!
There's a lot to cover in a short period of time. And you know, of course,
I'm counting it down. It's going to be a lot of information in a really short amount of time.
It always is. It always is. I'm looking forward to this weekend because we've got some people coming to the mountain to visit with us and celebrate with us.
Yep.
And
I'm going to have to miss it this time, but that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit of color in the trees now. You know, a little bit of the golds and oranges and reds are starting to come out. You know, we'd already had a few leaves fall before Lunasa, but now on my drive Monday morning along I-80, I saw a lot of trees that are starting to get that fall color thing happening.
That funny green.
Yeah, it's in that you know, starting to get some reds mixed with the green, a little bit of yellow.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's starting to get that fall color kind of beautiful stuff going on. And I'm looking forward to...
You guys get it a little bit sooner than I do. It sounds like you're more... I think you guys are a few hours north of us because you were very lucky to start getting it so soon. We've had a little bit of rain, so our leaves are going to hang on for a little bit longer.
Yeah. And we're promised a nice weekend by the weather forecast people. And, you know, looking at a sunny day on Saturday, mid-80s, falling off into the mid-50s. So we're going to have that big 30-degree drop in temperatures, and, you know, that just makes the evenings crisp and clean and clear. And I'm excited about the, you know, fall coming to the mountains. I'll be bitching about the winter, but I'm looking forward to the fall.
Yeah, we all do.
Yeah. Spring and fall are my favorite seasons here in North Central Pennsylvania, where we are. It's just so, the fall is, I just love the color change. But yeah, the winters are pretty brutal.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even, I mean, it's not as brutal as like Buffalo, but it still sucks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we don't have as much snow as they have there.
I get slammed with snow because I'm on that same lake, and I'm in the snow belt, and we get it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I do look forward to the now last year we got a lot of snow, but we had some blessed Sunday into Monday snow.
Yes.
And
that was fun.
And if you guys don't understand, I'll go ahead and explain it to you. If it's snowing on a Monday morning, I am not going to leave to drive 2 hours to come back down to Allentown for my work. I'm going to call in and say, I'm working from home today. So those Sunday into Monday snows typically bought me an extra day at home with the family, for which I am grateful and felt blessed. So that's the flip side of the nasty winters, is at least it got me extra time at home.
Yeah, that was nice.
So, Robin, while we have you, in case you drop out, go ahead and share your thoughts about Maybon.
Well, you know, you were asking me about, like, what's typically harvested at this time of year, and I was giving it some thought, and you're right, apples and grapes are harvested at this time of year, and corn, you know, and so there are a lot of things that are harvested for this holiday, and certainly, you know, grapes for wine is a big deal, and actually, it's also the time of the year where you can pick the grape leaves to make, like, stuffed grape leaves and use them for decoration at this time of the year as well. You dry them, put them in wreaths. But generally, for this time of year, for me, it's always been herbs. It's about cutting the herbs, hanging them to dry, and, you know, and bringing in any plants that are outside that you want to bring in to preserve over the winter. you know, things that flower or culinary herbs that you know you're going to use, which is why, you know, we're going to be hopefully starting to build our greenhouse this weekend at Mavon, and I just thought that was so appropriate so that, you know, it could be, we could overwinter some of the things that we, you know, we need and we use over the winter that normally we have to resort to buying. So I'm kind of excited about that and really looking forward to it. Of course, currently I'm on the hunt for old windows and rebar and plastic sheeting to sort of make that greenhouse out of all the recycled materials, so it won't cost us a whole lot of money. And there's a lot of plans for them online as well. So that's actually, you know, I think a pretty good Mabon project.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that we get the stuff together in time to start this weekend.
Yeah,
even if
I'm working on it.
But if we don't get the stuff, then we've still got, you know, weekends going into October. And we'll have another, we'll just have to schedule a special day at the mountain, not involving rabbit, for people to come up and help us play with our Mabon season project.
Yeah.
Because I tell you guys all the time, I say this on the air and I say this to people in person, we celebrate the Sabbath at the Sabbath, or, you know, usually the weekend nearest. But that Sabbath colors and influences the entire season following it. So for like seven weeks between now and Samhain, this is the Mabon season.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that's a theme of Mabon is a theme for the entire 6 or 7 weeks until now. So, you know, that season-long project is not a bad idea. Now, Nick, you were getting ready to jump in there, and you had some things you wanted to say about your thoughts on Mabon.
I was just going through some notes that I had from previous coven experiences, and Robin was talking about the different herbs. It's mainly nuts and grains and bread making, a family gathering like atmosphere. That's what Mabon really, to me, that's what it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's not so much just the gathering the bread, but, you know, the breads, the nuts, and going out in the yard and pick up the acorns, and that's what I plan on doing. But, I mean, there's a little bit more involved into it, you know, like your root vegetables. It's time for carrots and potatoes and your turnips and all that stuff, and those are comfort foods. So you're bringing family in from the outdoors, so to speak, and bringing everyone back to the hearth.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's what it means to me. And I'm hoping one of the coven mates does call in and tells her secret recipe, what she's bringing. So I really don't know what one of them is bringing. I know a couple of her bringing, but who knows? But, you know, I've been looking at the monkey bread lady. You remember when I used to make that, Robin? Now there's a new recipe out that's like got all kinds of nuts in it. I'm like, oh my, this could sound good. So I'm like, oh, this would be perfect for Mabon. But to me, that's what it means. You're gathering things from outside and you're bringing them into the house to start their process. You know,
right.
They've been out harvesting all year, so to speak, and they've, you know, we may be talking about people that raise sheep, and they're out there for a long time, or they raise goats. So now they're starting to come back to the hearth, and along the way, this is what they pick up on the way to bring into the hearth, into the home.
So kind of a harvest home festival.
Yes. Because Mabon is actually the second harvest.
It is the second harvest. And you know, I always talk about what our agrarian ancestors did. Where do these festivals come from? What was going on in, you know, in, you know, particularly in my case, in the British Isles and Ireland primarily, at this time of the year? You know, what is it that that created this festival? You know, and you know, the equinoxes and the solstices are fairly straightforward. It's easy to understand what's going on.
Right.
But our agrarian ancestors lived with the earth. They didn't try to have dominion over the earth. Boom, boom. You know, they lived with the cycles of nature. And this being the second harvest, this is the fruit harvest. It's the early grapes, as Robin pointed out, and the late grains. You know, like corn is one of the late grains. The early grains were the first harvest. But the late grains, like corn and all of the root vegetables that Niv mentioned, all of this is coming in now. And it's a time to celebrate the bounty. You know, a few weeks ago we talked about the Empress tarot card.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about how she was the embodiment of the Earth Mother within the tarot in so many ways. She is that, you know, representative of the mother of bounty, of joy, and celebration in all things that you touch and feel, including eating and smelling and, you know, the smell of fresh bread and, you know, the feel of comfort and friends and family. And I think of gratitude.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
A lot of, you know, our contemporary, the Canadians celebrate Thanksgiving in October. We here in the States celebrate in November. But to me, it seems like this is a very appropriate time for Thanksgiving, for looking at the blessings that we have. But it's also a time of fulfilling. You know, we're starting to evaluate the herd. And we're not keeping all those animals. By Samhain, we will have culled the herd. So we're starting to look now at what animals are we going to keep for breeding stock for next year. And what are we going to cull? What are we going to harvest from the animal and start putting that meat back so that we have meat through the winter? By culling the herd, we also don't have to feed them, because the grains that we're harvesting, we're going to want for feeding humans. And so we cut back on the number of animals we have to feed through the winter. So while we're being grateful and thankful and celebrating bounty, we're also preparing for the future. There's all of this. Is every Sabbath, we're celebrating the Sabbath, but we're looking to the future. We're always working through the cycle. And so it's a time when we look at what do we want to carry with us through the winter, and what do we want to let go of. So keep that thought in your mind as you celebrate your festivals with season. And then Tuesday night, we're going to do our Maybon ritual on the air. And be thinking about, what do you want to let go of that is holding you down, that you're going to have to feed through the winter? And what do you want to take with you? And what do you don't? And what, you know, what don't you? This is also a time of releasing. When we start culling the herd, we're releasing.
I know
that's a little bit of a downer, but that's what our ancestors were dealing with.
We do that here on the farm.
Well, exactly. You know, I mean, we live so far removed. Most people today live so far removed from their food. yeah, that they don't understand the cycle. And, you know, now that I'm living, you know, I lived in rural parts of the South, and there was always farming and agriculture. So I always had some idea of what was going on. I never lived so far removed from my food that I didn't realize that that steak had, you know, gone moo, you know, a few days ago.
Excuse me, but, you know, there unfortunately there are people that don't teach their children that because, A, for one, they don't know it.
Yeah,
yes,
that's true.
You know, they connect the egg and the chicken. They got that. But they don't connect the bacon to the pig, you know, or the ham. They it just does not compute.
Well, it's so easy. You know, you go to the supermarket and it's all pretty wrapped and very sterile and clean. And, you know, people don't see it as an animal that was, you know, once alive. They just see it as this stuff in the supermarket they go by. And the, you know, big farming has really worked hard to create that illusion of, you know, cleanliness and it's all nicely wrapped and packaged for you and it's not hard, any kind of hard work to take home, you know, chicken breast or a steak anymore. I was watching a thing on TV and I don't even know what reality show it was that I came across. But they were teaching a bunch of young people who had decided they were going to live off the grid how to kill a chicken, which is something I was exposed to when I lived in Florida, in Miami, as a kid. The woman down the block, she had chickens in her yard, and every once in a while on a Sunday, she would string one up and cut its throat and, you know, Yeah, absolutely. And then we'd all go in the kitchen and pluck the chicken, and we, then she'd cut it up and we'd eat it.
Right.
So I learned that fairly young, but these kids, they were all in their 20s, and they were all completely repulsed by the idea of having to kill their own food. I mean, the girl who actually was selected to, you know, cut the chicken's throat looked like she wanted to throw up while she was doing it. I mean, she just, we're so removed from our food. And I get that's a difficult thing to do, is take an animal's life. I totally understand that. And I'm not advocating, you know, but let me tell you something. If I'm hungry and I have to feed myself and my family, I would have no compunction.
Right.
To,
I mean,
you know, to do what was
needed.
It's
a mindset. And unfortunately, like you said, you know, if they don't know what they're about to step into and they're too connected to it emotionally, they can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, never name your food. Never name your food.
Never name your food, yeah.
We name ours. We do.
When you celebrate, when you're eating, you know, when you're eating.
I don't want to know who we're eating. But we do name them. Sorry. You know.
Yes, I'm going to have a Bambi steak tonight.
Hey, I have names for all our chickens. I mean, you know, if at some point we have to start to, you know, off our chickens for some reason. Yeah, hey, we're eating Matilda tonight. You know, I mean, it's the way it is.
Yeah, but it's
you know, I'm not really sure if people really just really get a grasp on it. You know?
Well, you know,
it's not really. I just don't want to know who I'm eating. That's all.
You know, the thing is, you know, we also in this, you know, through that sterility. That mm-hmm. removal from the food,
mm-hmm.
it lessens our respect.
Oh yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
We have far less respect for the spirit of the animal,
absolutely.
And the strength of the animal. And every time we sit down together and share a meal. You know, we thank the spirits of the animal that sacrificed so that we could eat.
Mm-hmm.
know, I always say to, you know, keep us mindful of the spirits of the animals, the grains, and all the people that work to get this food to our table.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps people to understand that there's a whole lot between that piece of styrofoam with plastic on top and an animal grazing in the field.
Yeah. You know, I see
I have
that,
no problem being a carnivore. I don't have a problem with it. But, you know, I want to honor the gift. Somebody was speaking. I apologize.
I'll have to bring you some beef. you'll know what
Robin
beef is when I get it to you. Go ahead, Robin.
We've as a culture, we are so uncomfortable with death and dying that we have now, you know, removed it from, I mean, 100 years ago, it was very common for grandma to get laid out on the family kitchen table or the couch in the sitting room, you know,
right.
In the sitting room. Right. And we don't do that anymore. And
well,
so,
I think that's a health hazard, too. I have been attended those.
You know what?
You don't leave them out there for 3 days.
Yeah, you know what? Embalming, okay, my opinion, and I've talked to funeral directors about this, embalming is really a manufactured, it's not necessary, let's put it that way. And you know that many states do not require embalming. I mean, there are a few that do. You could, in some states, still take grandma out in the backyard, bury her in your yard, and put a headstone on it. Call it a day.
Yep. Cool.
But they
I want a
laws.
Viking ship on the lake.
But they do have laws as to how, you know, how quickly they have to be buried. But that aside, I think our removal from our food started with our sudden discomfiture with death, is taking death out of the equation of everyday life.
Yeah.
So
hey,
not only do we not want to see grandma laid out on the kitchen table anymore, we don't want to have to deal with, you know, chopping the head off our chickens either. We want to go to the store and buy them in a pretty package.
Yeah, well, that comes from city folk. But let's go ahead and take this call real quick. And all right. I'm clicking on the button and call. There we go. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
I know who that is. I know. Hi, honey. How are you?
Who is this?
Good. Huh?
Who is this?
Jeannie from one of my coven mates.
Does she have a name?
Yeah. My name's Jeannie.
Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, Jeannie. Welcome to the show.
Hi, guys.
Hi. So what would you want to add to the conversation here?
Well, I heard the part of I was at about the whole recipe situation.
Aha. So your ears were burning, you had to call in and
and report. And report. That's what it is. They call into report.
share what you got to share there.
Well, I'm going to be bringing a nut roll with hazelnuts that I harvested this year.
Awesome.
Very cool.
Yeah, and it's not just going to be hazelnuts. I'm going to do, like, you know, all kind of nuts, but mostly the hazelnuts. But I think this is a great time of the year with the whole ending the season in a way, just putting it all to sleep, you know, per se.
Mm-hmm.
So,
now,
I don't know. Hey, go ahead.
Jeannie, let me ask you. So you harvested the hazelnuts. I assume you have a hazelnut tree. And
close by.
Okay, close by. So do you have to roast them in order to open them, or how do you go about harvesting hazelnuts for anybody who might be interested?
Well, what I did, this is my test run on it, so I'm not an expert.
Oh, if I don't show up ever again, you know why. I've been poisoned by hazelnuts.
Well, basically, they're already, the nuts are, they're still in their shell right now sitting here. They're
right.
Ready. All I got to do is crack them. Once I crack them, I'm going to chop them up. I'm going to put them in the oven and roast them for a little bit. And then I'm going to go ahead and put them in the roll and the mixture and everything. So, but the rest that are left, I'm going to roast the whole batch and put them in a baggie and freeze them.
Awesome. Cool.
So that way,
you can make your own homemade Nutella.
Yeah, pretty much.
So what kind of roll is this going to be? Is it going to be like a sweet roll, or is it going to be hearty or savory, or what are you talking about here?
It's going to be a sweet roll, but I'm cheating this time around because I have so much on my plate. So what I'm going to do is roll it in a puff pastry.
Uh-huh.
And
that's a favorite here, Terry. That's what like the people like it over on this side of the state. Really, it's a sweet dough, and it's the bomb.
Oh, like phyllo dough?
Yeah, like that, but it's a little thicker. So it's going to be kind of sweet but flaky.
Actually,
okay,
if Lisa were here, she would tell me the difference between, because I just had this conversation with her. Phyllo dough is very thin, and it is multiple layers. Okay, and you really have to handle it very carefully. It flakes apart at the slightest touch. However,
now,
pastry dough is thicker. It's one sheet, and it does puff up. The puff pastry does puff up, and it's the stuff that you get like turnovers in, where it puffs up, and you get those little air pockets between the pastry, and it gets little crispy bits.
Oh,
so there's
okay.
a difference between because I just had this conversation with Leigh. She'll be so proud of me that I remembered.
She's so proud of herself because she remembered.
Okay, so you're not making hazelnut baklava. You're making
it's not baklava.
Puff pastry.
Yeah, baklava would be phyllo. That was my mistake,
Yeah.
That does sound good, though.
Yeah, it does, and it's gonna, you know, it's like I said, it's gonna be a little bit flaky just because of the way it puffs up, but it's gonna be sweet at the same time, but not so sweet that you're like getting a toothache, you know.
Right.
Yeah, you know,
my mind is racing now to a hazelnut and honey taste spread over a phyllo dough, and.
Yeah, now I'm thinking I have to make some hazelnut.
My husband's waiting for me to. To roast them and put them over ice cream.
Well, we have a black walnut tree. We have black walnut trees all over the property. If you want to go out and get the kids to grab up some of the walnuts before they rot on the ground, because they will be falling off the trees here shortly, I'll be more than happy to make you some baklava with the walnuts.
That would be wonderful.
Well, that sounds nice.
Jeannie and I are making a road trip.
Yes, we are. You don't know it yet, but.
Hey, and when you come over. And ladies, when you come over, bring plastic wrap and rebar.
That's right,
okay.
Yeah. Plastic wrap, rebar, and any old windows you may have lying around.
Yeah, the big industrial, you know, construction plastic for the wrapping walls and stuff. So bring some of that and some rebar and old windows. And come on over and we'll
keep
you
busy for years, Terry.
you bring the stuff and we'll feed you. How's that for an answer?
That sounds good, man.
Fine with us.
All right, well, we are past the bottom of the hour. So let's go ahead and take a break. One of the themes that we're going to talk about in the second half of the show is about the stories of the god and goddess. And as we head into this season, I'm thinking a lot about the horned god.
Okay.
And the cycles of the god. So I'm going to play Antlered Crown and Standing Stone by Gog the Bard, which is all about the cycles of the gods. I know she's laughing because I love this song and I play it, you know, about once every 2 years.
I hear it in my sleep, Terry.
That's right.
Excellent.
Well, I'll be new at this.
So, all right, well, I guess I'm playing it for Gene.
Somebody wants to hear it.
Don't get me wrong, but...
So anyway, I'm going to play my damn song.
Love you, Terry.
And we'll be back in a little bit. Stick around, everybody.
Oh.
I am the face within the leaf. I'm the voice within the tree. I am boy, I am man, the face of the changing man. And I have been your constant guide from your caves on the mountainside. We have walked hand in hand, and everywhere that I have been, my passing turns to gray to green. The birds sing to the dawn, and the land has awoken, and oh, my lady lays with me, and our love weaves a tapestry, eternal thread unbroken.
I am child of Barleycorn, and I am the one power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it. And we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
To Terry and Onyx on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
We'll move you, Virginia.
I love our rejoin music on Thursday night. So much fun. Thanks for sticking around during the break. This is Reverend Terry Tower, and you are under a shady tree with Terry and Robin. And our special guest tonight, Niv, who's here as a special co-host. Robin is traveling right now and may or may not be with us the rest of the show. It depends on what the cell towers do and such. And we're also joined by Jeannie, who called in to join the conversation. So, ladies, how is everybody after the break?
Hanging in. Still here.
Music was good, Terry.
Thank you. Y'all laugh at me, but that was particularly appropriate for this conversation.
Yeah, so, good.
We are going to... we're going to talk a little bit now about the God and Goddess stories. And I'm going to turn this over to Robin in just a minute. But the Goddess is full right now. She's in her fullness. She's, she's just about ready to, give birth to this new God. And the old God is the barley corn, the god of grain and all of our food, is the sacrificial king. This is his time, and coming toward that sacrifice. And as it said in the song, but don't cry, because he'll be leading the wild hunt itself. So, it's important that we remember that sacrifice, that the king is connected to the land, and those stories. And now I'm going to let Robin talk a little bit, her thoughts on all of this, and of course she's going to come at it from much more about the mother. So, my lady?
Yes, hi. For anybody who's ever been pregnant, we all know that you get to a certain point in your pregnancy where you're just like, will you get this thing out of me now? How much you love your baby, and you're just thrilled that you're going to have this wonderful experience of childbirth. You just want it to be done now. I'm tired of being uncomfortable and feeling like something's jumping up and down on my bladder. The goddess is kind of approaching that stage here in the last 4 to 6 weeks. Just really can be a challenge for a lot of women who are pregnant. So she's sort of in her cranky end of the pregnancy stage coming into, but also feeling very much the mother and looking forward with anticipation to the coming of the new child. So it's a time for change and being busy, bringing about the harvest. The God, the God, of course, is, as Terry said, you know, just sort of coming into his sagehood now. He's waiting. He's waiting for the birth of the child as well, and going through that with the goddess. And it's knowing that his sacrifice is coming to be reborn again. It's a really good time to take stock in your own personal life and take a look at what things maybe you need to bring to fruition, and what things you need to cull from your life, to evaluate what things need to go and what things need to stay, and where's my focus? Does my focus need to change? And I really think that at this time of year, with the ending of the summer season and the ease of the summer season, you're anticipating the harshness of winter. So it's time to pare down and get lean and mean, and be ready for the hard time ahead, dark time, the lean time. And that's really what this is about. Counting your blessings, counting your harvest, and being ready going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. We talked about that scene before the break. You know, I mean, you're absolutely right. You know, it's all about preparation. You know, we're walking the spiral path inward now. And as the nights get longer and the days shorter, and we spend more time inside instead of out in our gardens or in our yards or whatever it is that we do outdoors, particularly those of us in this part of the country, we're going to have a whole lot of inside time coming up. And we're going to be walking that spiral path as we move introspectively and look at ourselves, look at our growth, look at what we want to grow, look at what we want to let go of. I was talking to some friends earlier tonight about putting down the box of rocks that is regret, that is guilt. If we deal with the things that we are feeling bad about, then we put them down and we move on. We apologize where we need to, we fix what we can, but we put down the box of rocks and move forward free. Because if I'm holding on to this box of rocks, I've got no energy for anything else. I can't lift another thing as long as I carry that box of rocks, that guilt, that regret, that whatever. We got to put that down and walk that path inward. And sometimes that's where we find the answers we seek. So we're entering into that time of year, and we got to look at what do we want to carry with us as we walk that path, and what do we want to leave behind. So now that I've been somber, Niv and Jeannie, why don't you ladies talk a little bit about how you're going to decorate? I want to hear your decorating ideas. What are you going to do with the altar? What are you going to do?
Robin knows that I go overboard on everything.
anything worth doing is worth overdoing.
Yeah, but it's so pretty. I'm lucky. I have a very large, long altar that goes on my back patio, and that's where we hold circle. And we always do it nicely. We put lace out, and we put out very tall candelabras, and this year I'll have a piece of ivy on there, and somebody else will bring nuts. I'll pick up acorns. I'm looking for broom straw if anyone gets good connection here. but we do decorate, and not just for the mother. We also have a large, and lately have been talking a lot about God. This is the first year for Jeannie to be with me, with May Vaughn and two of the other coven mates. It's very important for them to understand that at this time, and not just them, but everyone, at this particular time that we're talking about, it's the actual changing, physical changing of the earth to the sun. That's why we honor the God to create the balance.
Mm-hmm.
So this year we're going to have candles of every color that we can dig out. We'll have bottles of wine that won't be on the altar of.
And I think we're going to be celebrating apple cider this year.
Well, yeah, but, you know, you're not going to be here this time, Terry. And you guys are going to have your celebration this weekend. We get to ours next weekend. We're doing it after, the 3 days after, because of everybody so busy. Yeah, we're going to do it on the 26th this year. Maybon falls literally in the middle of the week by our agrarian calendar. So with people vending and all this kind of stuff and all the other festivals, I said, well, we can do it 3 days after. It's in during that window, 3 days either way. So we're going to celebrate it just after the actual equinox, but it coincides with the full moon, the super moon that's going to be the following day on Sunday. I mean, it's going to be absolutely stunning.
Uh-huh.
We're lighting a big fire pit this time, Jeannie.
Yay!
The big one. It's a big one. It is a big one.
Oh, I'm so excited now. I'm really looking forward to it because I have a bunch of candles that I have made to bring. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just to add to, and they have their reasonings. It's the end of, it's time to tie up loose ends, you know, and just celebrate and say, okay, another job well done, no matter which way it fell.
Right.
You know?
As long as you put your 100% in, you're right.
Exactly.
Very cool. So what theme do you guys, do you ladies have planned for your ritual?
What theme? Theme. Let me think. We're going to just stay with Maybon. We're staying with Maybon. Our group, Lyle of the Moray, means twisted thread of lace. And, of course, the Moray is the Norns or the Fates. And that's what the whole name means. And we try to stay with that, quote-unquote, physical theme. But we definitely do celebrate our Sabbath. And we just blow them up. I will send pictures.
All right.
But,
yeah.
You know, I mean, why wouldn't you celebrate it 100%? You've worked all darn year to get to this point. So that's the whole point of celebrate it. And I've always been the one that says, oh, let's add this. And Robin just looks at me with a look, you know. You know the look, right, Terry?
I'm just simple. You know, I keep everything simple.
Well, I did for a long time, and it was somewhat
and now you're on your own and you don't
decorated
have to.
There. Now it's my group. I'm doing what I want.
There you go.
You know, everybody does it differently. You know, even when Al had her ceremonies in circles, a lot of times we didn't have altar. It was very simple, gathering of hands and being in circle and being in community with each other. It wasn't always, let's have the doodads and the thingamajus, you know, but I've got the doodads and the thingamajus. I'm going to use them. You know, it's always done.
Niv, I'm a little bit like you, so we're going to be having more compromise, and you know, there's more stuff on the altar than she's happy with, but less than I'm completely thrilled with. So we're in that in between place too. But
I have to call the meeting of the minds, and it has to be a balance.
Well, I think that for me it was about.
Yeah.
I think for me it was about that 10 years of having to do circle on the beach every week. And let me tell you something.
And all you had was you? Yeah. Oh, sure.
Yeah. You can't light a candle on the beach and keep it lit. You can't, you know, sage people on the beach and keep it lit. Incense won't stay lit. I mean, it's just, after a while, I just gave up. I was like, okay, we're just going to do this with, you know, we've got a complete altar here. We've got sand. We've got salt water.
We've got plenty
of
wind.
Has salt. Yeah, we've got wind. So, you know, I was just lucky if I could be heard over the wind and the waves. It gives you a different...
Wait, circle with her, D.
Yeah.
But now we have a big, but now we have a big stone slab and a fire pit.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have a big altar, stone altar like yours, but I got a bigger fire ring than you do, I bet.
Well, ours is just the right size, so I'm happy. So you're not going to get me, you know.
Factors
you're not
going to
get me envy
then.
Out of me.
Fire
well,
pin.
Actually, my fire ring is a recycled product, and it is very large. It was the big weight that crushes limestone, and it's a pointy shape like thing, and the tip of it actually will weigh.
From constant abuse to the, you know, hitting the rocks. And I knew someone that worked there, and I said, I want that for a fire ring. And it took two big tractors to bring it in. It's huge.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, you know, we recycle too, but we do it largely.
I look forward to seeing it. Right now, ladies, we are 4 minutes away from the top of the hour.
Sure.
This
we
is
have good
flown
time.
By.
It zooms by. Hey, well, before you take off, I need to ask you, Terry, maybe you can help. Jeannie asked me this question, and I didn't really have this answer.
All right.
Modron, is that just the name for the mother? Modron, is that just the name for the goddess?
Madron?
Modron.
Modron.
Mm-hmm.
I do
because
not have a good
answer. Because I've run it across it. She came across it, and I went, because there's a connection
the
between.
Is that the one I was asking you about the god, Modron, was it a holiday?
Yes.
Okay, yeah,
it's a god question.
Yeah, there. I come across, I was looking, researching my male deities. And I come across when I looked up the holiday or the event for Modron, it came across this god named Modron, and they were similar. And I was just wondering if they coincided. What about them?
Well, a quick little bit of research tells me that is a mother figure, another goddess figure in Welsh tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And
is the
mother of the hero Mabon at Modron.
Okay. Yep, that's him. That's the one I'm asking about, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So her son was Mabon.
Very likely derived from the Gaulish, Matrona.
Okay.
Probably even a prototype for Morgan Le Fay from Arthurian legend.
That's where the connection is. Okay. I couldn't give her the true answer. I thought, that just seems Welsh to me, but I wasn't actually sure.
Okay.
Yeah, well, you were correct on the Welsh.
Well, I was close.
That just fooled me, you know.
And you did. And you did. And that's the thing we just discussed, you know, and that's how you learn.
I'm a firm believer in discuss.
We do a lot of that. I have group chat on my phone, believe me.
Yep.
Forget Facebook doesn't even exist anymore. We're just on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And looks like Robin dropped out of there somewhere in the midst of our conversation.
Yeah, there's a spot on 80. She must be getting close to the house.
Yeah, there's a spot where I drop out every time I'm talking, and I go through there as well. So anyway, Jeannie and Niv, I want to thank you both for being with us tonight.
Sure.
And,
thank you.
Let's see. I guess, and I just got a text message saying she is home and safe. So all is well.
Her signal drops in the driveway.
Yeah.
It's horrible connection there.
It drops right there on the road as you're approaching the house. So anyway, I want to thank you both for being with us tonight. Thank you, Niv, for being there as a backup and
sure,
for fully
no problem.
Participating in the conversation. Great fun. I love some of the things you said, and I'm very glad you were with us tonight.
Well, thank you so much, sir. So you want to tell everyone how they can find you?
Yeah, we're going to do that right now. So if you
want to get in touch with any
of the hosts or panelists or, you know, co-hosts or engineers or anybody involved with the show, you can email surn.org@gmail.com. And if you've got any questions that you'd like for us to address or show topics, we're always looking for ideas. And again, that is cern.org@gmail.com. Let's see. You can also check out the Spiritual Unity Radio Network page on Facebook. Let's see. If you want to get in touch with me and Robin or me or Robin, we have a shared email address. And that is littlestonebridge@gmail.com. And we have a page on Facebook also. It's Little Stone Bridge Pathworking. And you can go there, click on like, and it'll help you to get announcements and such. We've got a lot of stuff coming up that we're going to be working on, workshops on communication. After the last show, have already begun developing a workshop on daddyhood. Not fatherhood, but daddyhood.
Yeah, there's a difference.
We're going to be developing some men's mysteries kind of workshops. Particularly after our last show, we talked a lot about the evolving gender roles. And anyway, I'm not going to get into it again, but be looking on the Little Stonebridge Pathworkings Facebook page for some announcements coming out about those workshops. And if you want to get in touch with Robin, you can find her on Facebook. She is Robin McKean or Robin A. McKean. And she's the only one of those, the only Robin A. McKean. If you want to find me on Facebook, however, there's all kinds of lucky devils that have the same name as I do. So you want to find Carrie Tower in North Copley, Pennsylvania. Also, it usually says something about owner of Spiritual Unity Radio Network, which is a clue and helps you get to the right one. Or you can find my public figure page. My public figure page is Rev Terry Power HP, or follow me on Twitter at Rev Terry Power HP. So I think that covers everything. Oh, if you go to the Rev Terry Power HP Facebook page, like it also, because that's where all the pictures of all of our stuff and all of my travel and all of that all begins.
Nothing is hidden.
Yeah, but all the pictures get loaded on that page and then shared to friends pages and Little Stone Bridge and all that kind of stuff. So that's where you find all the pictures in their stored location.
In your album.
So again, yeah, in all the albums. So thanks again, Niv and Jeannie. I appreciate you being here. I want to thank the people in the chat room for being with us and all of our listeners that that share their time with us. You know, I know that you guys have things to do at 10 o'clock on a Thursday night, and you choose to spend time with us. So whether you're listening live or you download this and listen later, you're taking time to be with us, and we are honored, and we appreciate everyone being with us. So, you know, just a final thought, and I want to reiterate something that Robin and I both mentioned at different times in the show. Maybon is a time of gratitude. As Niv mentioned, it's a time of homecoming. It is a harvest home kind of festival, and we should be counting our blessings, finding things that we are grateful for, and thanking the gods for all that we have in our lives. And it is also a time to reflect, a time to plan, a time to call, and to remove stuff from our lives that we don't want to carry forward. Because everything we carry forward takes energy to feed, takes energy to carry. Let's put it down and go forward into this season free and ready to face Samhain and the hard winter.
So it's going to be a doozy this year. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And so with that, I'm going to wish you all a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night and blessed be.
Good night. Blessed be, Terry. Thanks.
All right, thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.